thank you so much for having me. It really is a blessing to be here. I didn't know, apart from a couple of weeks ago, that I would be preaching with you and being with you. So it's such an honor and a blessing. I think one of my highlights yesterday was being served a cup of tea by this gentleman here. That is the first time in 30 years ever that I've been served a cup of tea in church by a man. So I am so grateful for that. What a blessing your men are to you here. Yeah, we've got a lot to learn. We have a lot to learn. But yeah, it was a huge blessing to be here. So let's just bow our heads as we come to hear the word of the Lord. Lord, our prayer today is let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, as it says in your Psalms, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Holy Spirit, you are already here. You are here with us. Guide my mouth and my lips and my heart, Lord, and guide us together as we seek you this morning. In your mighty, powerful name, you have heard our prayers. Amen. Years ago, a British couple were sent by their church on a mission in Israel. So what a blessing that would be, wouldn't it, to be sent to Israel on a mission? And after a few weeks in their new home, they noticed that a dove had nested in the roof of their house. A dove had rested in the roof of their house. And one of them noticed that whenever they would slam the door or get into a heated argument, like I know none of you couples in here do, that the dove would just fly away. And one day, Sandy, the husband, said to his wife, Bernice, "Have you noticed the dove in our roof?" And she said, "Yes, it feels like a seal from God on our time here in Israel." Sandy had noticed, the husband noticed, how the dove, and he explained this, how the dove had just flown away when they bash the door, when they slam it too hard, or they get into one of those arguments. And he said, "I'm so afraid," he said to his wife, "I'm so afraid that the dove will never come back, because it feels like such a blessing." Then Sandy stopped and looked at her and said these words. And remember these words throughout this sermon. Either the dove adjusts to us, or we adjust to the dove. Either the dove adjusts to us, or we adjust to the dove. And that is a true story. That day, they decided to adjust to the dove. They decided to change their lives just so they could keep the dove around. R.T. Kendall, my favourite theologian, I was so blessed to get a book by him yesterday at the Women's Conference. He says, the Holy Spirit has his ways. God has his ways. The Holy Spirit has his ways. And you might not like them, but he will not adjust to you. We must adjust to him. You see, for centuries, the dove has often been seen as a symbol, a picture. If you read the Bible, if you've ever read the Bible, you'll know that the dove is such a precious symbol of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when preparing for this sermon today, you can imagine my shock and my surprise when I was driving home from work, listening to a very well-known preacher on a sermon of the Holy Spirit. And out of nowhere, this really is a true story. I filmed it on my phone. If you want to come and see me afterwards, I saw not one, not two, not even three, but four doves swooping and flying in the middle of the road in a very built-up residential area. And as I was driving, I was like, what's going on? These are doves. And if you're a Christian or if you've ever read the Bible, you'll know that it's like when you see a dove, you're just like, wow. The way they move, the way they fly, they're very sensitive beings or species. And when they were swooping down the fly, I was like, is there food in the road? I couldn't see any food. I couldn't see any sign of anything as to why these four pure white doves would be flying in the center of this road. I really couldn't miss them, even if I tried. I actually nearly hit into them. They were that close in a residential area of Oxfordshire. I just couldn't believe the chances. And when this happens to you, when you just can't believe the chances of something that God has put on your heart, you must stop. So I stopped and I spun around and I went back and I just sat there and watched them. I marveled at these doves and I thought, God, you must be telling me something. This is not a coincidence. This is a God incidence. This is a God incidence, and this happens all the time. If only we would just tune into it, get tuned into the Spirit. So I was like, this must be a God incidence. So God, what are you trying to tell me? Please guide me, lead me. And then I sat there for about 2 minutes. It wasn't long. I didn't have long, but I had 2 minutes. And two ravens flew ahead over the top of these four doves. So I just knew that I had to turn to Genesis chapter 8. So please do turn with me and let's be obedient to the Spirit. We know that in the Bible, the dove appears frequently from Genesis to the Gospels. And one of those key moments is Genesis 8, verse 6. It's well known to many of us who've been brought up in Christian homes. It's the story of Noah's Ark. After 40 days, Noah opened a window. Hang on, let me just wait before that. But God remembered Noah. But God remembered Noah. And verse 6, and after 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth, to and fro, it says in some versions, until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground, but the dove could find nowhere to rest because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned back to the ark. He reached out his hand, this is Noah, he reached out his hand and he took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again he sent out another dove from the ark. Then when the dove had returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and he sent the dove out again. But this time, the dove did not return. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What a historical story that made this dove an olive branch, an ongoing symbol of peace, of hope, of purity, even now. Even in today's society, you often hear it, don't you? Well, she offered out an olive branch. They gave an olive branch. And we all know that means a symbol of peace, which comes from this biblical story. So after my encounter with the doves in the road, and then the two ravens overhead, I felt led to explore the significance between the raven and the dove, and how the raven, as most of us know, it gets quite a bad rap. It's often seen as that villain. You often now still see the symbol, which is quite harrowing at times, of the skull and then the raven resting on the top of the skull, getting that negative, that dark connotations. But like everything, God has his plan, amen? God has his plan. And the raven has its part to play. It has its part to play in this story. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. In the ancient world, and even now, ravens, they're known as quite hardy scavengers. So I did my research on the raven, which I've never done before. So if you're into birds, you're with me. If you're not, then just bear with me. Okay. Ravens are known as hardy scavengers. This is because they're omnivores. They're omnivores, which means they eat both meat and vegetation, plants and seeds and berries. They're highly opportunistic birds, independent birds. They have the ability really to eat almost anything. They'd heavily consume meat, small mammals, birds. They would even eat rotting flesh if they needed to survive. It's actually been said, and I don't really agree with this, but I'm going to put it in anyway, and I'm going to say it anyway, that the raven probably consumes more human flesh than any other animal. That's crazy. I mean, please do check that, because I tried to navigate that, but I wasn't sure. But in Jewish law, because of this, they're seen as unclean, like the pig. They're seen as unclean. So after destroying, after God's judgment coming down on the world, in the flood, in the story of Noah, what better animal, what better bird, that, you know, animal, bird that could fly, would you send out of the ark? God has a plan. You'd send a hardy scavenger that eats flesh. Because they would survive on human flesh, on animal remains, and they would rest upon floating debris. Because they don't need that steady surface. They can survive on rocky ground. They don't need living, soft ground to rest upon. If any bird could endure a world marked by judgment, chaos, death, then it was the raven. It was the raven. The raven did not need a world to be alive, to be completely restored. It just needed to survive. And this helps explain why the raven never returned. Because the raven can survive, can land, can settle on that rocky, hardy ground. It doesn't mean it failed. It doesn't mean it disobeyed God, the raven. It had its part to play. It simply says it went to and fro. The ark was no longer its only place of refuge. Survival was possible because the raven can feast on death. So there's the raven. Now we look at the dove. The dove tells a completely different story. They require stability, stable ground, life, vegetation, a safe, calm place to rest. We heard in that story when the door was slammed, the dove just flew away. It needs that stability. It's a sensitive species. When Noah sent out the dove for the first time, it returned empty. Not because nothing had changed, but not enough had changed. Not enough had changed for it to rest, for it to settle. And that's important. Hold on to that. Not enough had changed. The raven could live on a jagged rock, but what the dove needed was trees, bushes, life. And more work needed to be done. So we've got these two birds. We've got the raven, we've got the dove, and they both were sent out with their parts to play. And Noah, what did he do? Did he panic? Did he fret? Where is the dove? Where's the raven? He waited patiently. Amen. He waited patiently for the Lord to do what he needed to do. He waited patiently, but God remembered Noah. I love that. God remembers us. We must wait patiently on the Lord to do what he, all authorities to him, needs to do. So we're going to take a bit of a diversion. We're going to take a pause on the raven and the dove. And we're going to look at Noah for a few moments, because I nearly took this out, but I really believe this needs to stay in this sermon. There's people here that need to hear this today. Noah, he'd waited 4 months after the rain had stopped. A year overall they were in the ark, but 4 months once the rain had stopped. And before his family was safe to venture out into this new world. Can you even imagine it? A new world that you're going to explore for the first time? But listen, it often takes just as much courage to sit and wait in the boat as it does to step out of the boat. It takes just as much courage, just as much discipline, just as much obedience to stay and wait until God says go. And till God says go. To wait on his timing before you step out and act. Sometimes we all get it, don't we? We just want to get up and go. Come on, Lord, send me. I want to go out. I want to be. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go in faith. But if God says no, if God says no, you need to stay and you need to grow. If God says no, you need to stay and you need to grow. Someone needs to hear that today. Someone needs to hear that. We often hear about the importance of stepping out. Sometimes it's harder to wait. We hear about Peter so often, don't we? So often, don't we? How he steps out of the boat in the chaos, in the storm, and he keeps his eyes on Jesus. He doesn't look to the... And then when he does, he falls. He falls. Noah waited for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine what they would have experienced? Now, I've never actually thought of this until I studied this. The noise, maybe the screaming, people dying, animals, the carcasses hitting the boat. This is real stuff. This is judgment. This is God's judgment. Got to get serious with God. And after 8 months of being at sea, living with rats, living with raccoons. You can imagine how noisy that would have been in the ark. And I love the bit where it says, Noah opened the window he'd made. He opened that window. Now, you've all met Pastor Will. Every morning, what do I do when I wake up? I open that window. I'm not suggesting anything there, but fresh air that just comes in, it's like life, it's like refreshment, it's like, get that window open, we've had 12 hours here, well, I've got a young baby, we probably had 6 hours here, open that window, bring in the life, the fresh air. So I tell you today, be bold, be courageous and wait upon the Lord, without the moaning, which we so often do, me included, and the groaning. We must live like Noah, trusting in God, sitting and waiting. So today I hear this. Be bold, be obedient, and sit and wait on God. Wait on God. So back to the dove. Let's look at what it means. So please turn with me to Galatians 5, verse 16. To be a people of the dove, a people of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us the desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So what are these desires? Let's look at verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Now hear this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit living in you, if you're a born-again believer, living in you produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature, of their flesh, on his cross. Hallelujah. Amen. And crucified them there. And since we are, aren't we, living in the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. This is the word of the living God. Amen. So today we're looking at the really light topic of what it means to be a people of the Spirit. A people of the Spirit. Are you? Are you a person of the Spirit? Because we know their faith, we know where they are by the fruit that they produce. It says in the word, doesn't it? You shall know them by their fruit. So do you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? It's a high call. Or are we people of the flesh? Hatred. This is full of hatred. Sexual impurity, jealousy, fits of rage, and selfish ambition. Are we people of the Spirit? I know who I am, and I'll start with me. I'll get vulnerable. I know I'm a woman of God. I'm a woman of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm a woman of the word, reading and speaking truth, a woman of the Spirit, a woman that whenever I've spent some time with the King, with my Savior, and I put on the armor of God, I can handle any battle, any trial, any temptation, any demon, and I'm a safe place for that dove to rest. Hallelujah. It doesn't end there, though, sadly. I wish it did. Yet, I also know that without the Word of God, without the Spirit of God, when I haven't spent that time alone, and we spoke about it yesterday in the women's conference, 2 minutes alone with the King, 2 minutes to be still and know that I am God, that He is God. When I haven't done that, when I go out naked into battle, I can't handle it. I cannot handle it. I want to give up. I want to give in. I want to run away and hide. Again, we spoke about coming out into the light yesterday in the conference. Not hiding in it. I've been hiding for too long. I've been hiding for too long. But to reach out, to touch the garment of Jesus. And then he looks around and says, why are you hiding? Why are you hiding? Come into the light. Follow the light. When I haven't clothed myself in Christ, I'm a dangerous place to rest. I'm chaotic. I'm unsettled. I can't think straight. I'm selfish. I'm angry. I'm a place a raven wouldn't even want to rest. Sexual immorality, hatred, jealousy. It takes one scroll for that, doesn't it? Selfish ambition, too many times. Outbursts of anger. In fact, I'm going to talk about that today. You don't hear about that much. I think I've maybe heard one sermon on outbursts of anger. So I'm going to be bold and I'm going to be vulnerable. I struggle with that. I personally wrestle with outbursts of anger that can sometimes just take over. You know, you've got that fight and flight. I'm the fight. And it takes over me. And it's the flesh. That's not the Spirit. The Spirit is self-control. Amen? And the anger, that's my flesh. Fighting out. Fighting for my rights. Fighting for myself. Right? That's what the world tells you to do. That's not what God tells you to do. You know, it's righteous anger. Don't deny there's righteous anger. We're not talking about that here. We're talking about outbursts, that uncontrolled frustration and anger that spills out. And when that sets in, the dove flies off. I know from experience, when that anger sets in, the dove just flies away. The Holy Spirit will not and cannot rest upon you if you're angry. If you've got that bitterness, unforgiveness, or just the outbursts, the impatience. He cannot work in you if you allow the things of the flesh to entangle you, to enslave you in causing strife and chaos, maybe in the home, in the workplace, on the internet, maybe you're on those trolls that types away and get so angry with what you see in the news or online or on social media, or with your spouse in the kitchen, with your kids in the park, on the phone with your parents, or in the shops with unorganized Gen Zs that don't want to help you find the item of clothing because they can't be bothered. I had to keep that in because that is... Do you know what? It's actually often in the mundane, that person on the phone with the bank that you know they've only just started and you can probably do the job better than them, or you think you can anyway. And you just want to get... You are... Okay. Heavenly Father, bless them. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Or that person that cuts you up. Maybe you're a rage rove. Maybe you're road rage, sorry. Maybe you have road rage and you're just like, oh! And you wind on you in a... God! Bless them. Bless them, bless them, bless them. And we laugh. But really, that's what we're called to do. We're not like everyone else. I'm going to say, turn to someone and say, we're not like everyone else. We're not like everyone else. And if we are, well, you know, talk to me afterwards. But we need the Holy Spirit, that we can't do it in our own strength. We're not able to. It's too hard. But by the power of the Spirit, by the power of God, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. You not believe the things, and I'm sure if you speak to John and Trish, they'll sympathize with me, that can so easily go wrong in ministry, that can so easily cause that disunity, friction, frustrations in and out of the home, of the church. And it was great to be at your women's conference yesterday. It was amazing. And it was lovely just to not have anything to do with it. It was wonderful to just sit and be filled up. Thank you, Lord, for that. But we had ours at our church in Oxfordshire a couple of weeks ago. And we had ours outside. We don't have our church building. We're not blessed. So thank you, Lord, for this church building. What a blessing that is. Don't take that for granted ever. So we had ours in a marquee, so we were relying on weather in England. That's a lot of faith. That is a lot of faith. I mean, I lived in South Africa for a year, and it was the first time ever in my life in a prayer meeting I'd prayed for rain. Never, ever, ever had I prayed for rain. We didn't pray for rain that weekend, like a couple of weekends ago. We prayed for sunshine. But we had portaloos. We had portaloos. We had extension cables going from the house to the marquee. I was carrying these chairs myself. We didn't have a team. Oh, praise God for your team yesterday. That is just amazing. Do you know what? Let's just seriously. Because to have a team... It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. So anyway, I was in this place of organizing this women's conference on the Holy Spirit, the irony. And I must confess, there was one afternoon, a couple of days before, I just allowed it. I allowed in the frustrations. I allowed in the fears. I allowed the flesh to take over. I was frustrated, I was angry, and the dove, it flew away. It flew away, and I took myself away, and I went on a run, and I went into the countryside, and I said, Lord, forgive me. And I got on my knees, and I said, align me, Lord, with your spirit. I've allowed the flesh to take over. About a women's conference on the spirit. I became like a raven. I was independent. I was striving. I was surviving. I was hard. It's so easy, isn't it, to slip into that. Doing it in your own strength. I can do all things. We're reminded today, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. You see, I will not and cannot be that jagged rock. I don't know if it's on the slide somewhere, but there's a picture of a jagged rock. And it really, I want that to resonate with you. If you look at the olive tree, the beauty, there's so much history there that I'm not going to go into today, of olives and the olive tree, and then a jagged rock. You can't compare the two. Lord, make me like an olive tree for your dove to come and rest upon. A place of peace, purity, patience. Oh, I love the word gentleness. You can just feel it when you say it. Gentleness. We must not allow the desires of the flesh, wherever they may be, to take over and pull us down. We need to cultivate, we need to produce a lifestyle of fruit, sweet fruit, and fruits of the Spirit. It says so clearly in our word, you shall not know them by their fruit. Not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's Zechariah 4, verse 6. A.W. Tozer says, the Spirit is neglected by the modern church, which is like buried dynamite. What fool buries dynamite? You need it. You use it for power, for impact. And the church, he says, misses the Spirit's blessing. Let's not miss this. Let's not miss this blessing. My good friend and preacher Sammy at the conference described it like this. Right, imagine you've got a lost aunt, a long lost aunt that you don't even know about. We all want one of these, don't we? But it saves you £1 million in the bank in her inheritance. Just for you, your name on it. This long lost aunt has millions of pounds just sat in this bank, this inheritance, waiting with your name on it. And then imagine the bank don't tell you. Or they do tell you, and you just take out £500,000 and you leave the rest sitting there. Or imagine you refuse to take anything out of it at all. You wouldn't. You wouldn't, would you? Why, with money, with something, an earthly thing that man created, and he says, give to Caesar's what Caesar's? Why, with that earthly value, we wouldn't do it? We know what we can do. They did, you know, I'm saying that money is power, isn't it? That's what they say. That's what the world says. Money is power. So why, with the Holy Spirit, the eternal, not the earthly, but the eternal value, would we not receive this inheritance, this gift? By who? Who gives us the Holy Spirit? Jesus. This I leave with you. This I give freely. Give to each one of you sat here, or to each one of us Christians, those listening online, each one, this gift that Jesus Christ our Lord has given to us. Why would we not? Why would we not take out all of it, all of its glory, all of its power, all of its peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. So many people are searching for that peace, and we've got it. If we're born again believers, we've got it. You've got it. You've got it. People can't even sleep at night. They're buying pills to help them sleep. Why? Because they don't have that inner peace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's be bold. We need the Spirit for the power, for the peace, for the insight that it can give us. The insight from God to pour out on ourselves. But wait for it. To pour out on each other, here, to bless each other. How often do you pray for each other? To want to be filled by the Spirit, but for your sister or your brother to be filled and blessed by the Spirit. This is the day I say, stay and surrender all to the Spirit. Stay. And surrender all to the Spirit. Not if you feel like it, actually. Not if you want to, or you feel like it. Because we're called, we're told to do it by Jesus. And if you follow Jesus, you're going to be obedient to that call. And you're going to ask. And do you know what? You can ask for the Holy Spirit to bless you. You can ask for that. And we should ask for that. If you're new to this or you're unsure, just ask. Lord, you know me. You know me. Bless me in the way you want me to be blessed by the Spirit. Speak to the Spirit. He is a person in the Godhead. And you will be like that smooth, green olive tree rather than that sharp, rough, jagged rock. Pastor Will always says, and it's a great one, the stakes are too high and the cost is too great. The stakes are too high to not do it, and the cost is too great. Matthew 3, 13 to 17. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming and resting upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven said these words. Join with me if you know them. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Jesus didn't do any major works. Think about it. He didn't do any major miracles or works until he was filled with what? He knew the importance that the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit gives to resist the temptation. Amen? In the name of Jesus, we say resist that temptation. That thing you might be battling with that you know is not of God. The thing that you keep hidden. That is dark and not something of the Spirit. You know what it is. God's put it on your heart right now. That thing that you don't want anyone to know about. That's hidden. That secret. Bring it into the light in the name of Jesus. Bring it into the light and be freed. Be freed from that sin. Be freed from that temptation. Be freed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Jesus also said it's better that he went away so we could be left with the Holy Spirit. The disciples, they didn't get this. They were like, no, why would you go? But he said, no, it's better. It's better. It's better that Jesus would leave to give us his Spirit. Because he's not confined. The Spirit isn't confined. He's not just in one place. I pray in the name of Jesus, he's across the world today in all different churches, moving and working and blessing and freeing so many Christians today across the world as we unite to praise our God this morning. R.T. Kendall says in the book, The Sensitivity of the Spirit, which is a fantastic book, he believes we can go as far as to grieve and hurt the Holy Spirit. Just think about that. To hurt the Holy Spirit. Wow. To grieve the Spirit without bursts of anger, with strife, striving to do what you want to do like the raven in your own strength, in your own power, in your own might. That strife, it hurts. It grieves the Spirit because that's not the plan that God's got for you. It's not what he wants. It's not what he wants for you. He wants to fill you with his Spirit, fill you with the fruits of the Spirit, and send you out or keep you stay to grow in him. As we come to the end now, I'm just going to round it up with a few quick fire points, just practical ways that we can be filled with the Spirit. Very quick. Fill up. Fill up before you run out. Don't run on red. I feel sorry saying again, he's got a bad rap day, but I love my husband. But he always, always leaves the car on red. So I get in the car with two kids, a two-year-old, a five-year-old, and I start the engine and I'm kind of halfway to where I'm going to go, usually running late for a play date or a play group. And I look down and what do I see? Red. There's no petrol left in the car. What do I do? What do I do? Do I go and fill it up? Do I risk it on red? Do I try and ride it out? Don't ride out. Don't risk it on red. Fill up before you run out. It can be so easy in ministry or being a parent to just pour out all the time. It's great, isn't it, when you can pour out and serve. But you need to be filled up. You must be filled up in the Spirit before you go out. You must before you pour out. You see it so often on aeroplanes, don't you? Don't put on that oxygen mask. I think it every time I'm on a flight. Don't put it on anybody else until you've got it on yourself. Otherwise you're gonna run out and be no good to anybody. Watch out. Number two, watch out. Satan's about. Watch out. Satan's about. He's real. I've actually denied kind of thinking that the devil has any part to play in my life for quite a long time. And I'm honestly realizing, probably in the last couple of years, watch out, the devil is about. And he's prowling around like a lion. He's prowling around like a lion, ready to devour, ready to outwardly devour you. But can I be honest? Inwardly, in here, these thoughts, take captive of these thoughts. Not today, Satan, not now, not ever. Get behind me. Amen. Get behind me, amen? Watch out. Satan's about. Finally, put on. Put on the armor of God daily. I'm not interested in this weekly stuff. It's not long enough. Daily. Daily, 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 daily put on. Lord, I need you every hour. Every second, every millisecond. I need you, Lord. Oh, how I need you. So let's read the armor of God. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. If you know it, read with me. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted, readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up that shield of faith, which you can extinguish what? The flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, just the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on some occasions, all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Maybe you came today and you're living a life more suitable for a raven to rest. And you know it. You know if that's you. Filled with anger, selfish desires, discontentment, that wanting of more. Just more things, more money, more promotion. I say more of God. Let's strive in the name of Jesus. Let's strive for more of God. Let's seek him with all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our soul. Living in those moments of darkness, or just maybe, and I do believe this, for people here just surviving, where that water is just here, and you're just holding on to something, that bit of faith, and you're just surviving, you're treading water. Today I call you to be that safe place for that dove to rest, a life of the Spirit. Come, follow the light. Follow the Spirit. And all of this is only possible if you believe, if you admit that you're a sinner saved by grace. You believe that God died for you, to set you free. And see, this is the ABC, admit, believe, commit to a life with him in his glorious presence. There's no place I would rather be than the presence of the Lord. Living a life of the Spirit. Can I just invite Pam and the band up now, please, as we pray? Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in their spirit." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we offer ourselves to you again this morning. Spirit, you're here. You are here. You are here. We want more of you, Lord. We want more of your Spirit. As we bask in your word, speak to us, we pray. Speak to us, we pray. We bring all the things that you see anyway, from the darkness into the light. And I pray for freedom. I pray for freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom from anyone that's hiding from Jesus today. He sees you. He sees you. Don't hide anymore. He wants to welcome you with his forgiveness. He wants to clothe you in his righteousness. And he wants to say, "You are mine, 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 mine. You are mine. You are mine." Bless us, Lord. Come. Come, Spirit, come. You You're already here. For in the name of Jesus, we'd nail the things of death, the things of darkness, the things of the raven. The raven would die today. This wouldn't just be some kind of artificial high. This would be death to those things that have enslaved, to those things that have enchained us, entangled us. We've got tangled up. Me included, we're tangled up in the rage. We're tangled up in the anxiety. And we're so tangled. Free us, we pray. Free us, Holy Spirit. There's people here that have denied the Spirit for years, that have said, that's not for me. I want to be in control. No, give it to Jesus. I'm afraid of what might happen. Give it to Jesus. He's your Father. He's got good gifts for you. Maybe you're in your older years and you've never really allowed the Spirit to come in and open yourself up and say, use my tongue for your tongues. Let me prophesy. Let me dream dreams. Let me see visions. Or in your younger years, or in between, you just say, empower me to do what you want me to do. Guide me. Guide my steps. I'm not in control anymore. You're not. You never were. You never really were. And as the band play this song, please, I ask that you would come forward. You would stand if you can, if you're able. If not, please raise a hand and I'll come to you. And then prayer ministry team, please come round. Let's stand together in the name of Jesus. Let's stand together. And if you want prayer, if anything today has touched your heart, as we sing this song, please come forward, and the prayer team, please also come.